Acts chapter 3.
You know, we labor for the Lord whether there's results or not, right? You serve God because it's right. But man, it sure is sweet when you see some of that take effect and impact, and you get to see it here a little bit. So that's a real blessing. Acts chapter 3, the reason we're kind of taking a break just tonight from this, I was driving down, where were we driving? To Warsaw yesterday, and had my Sunday night message and in my head, and I was going over it, and Lord just changed my thought to this. And a familiar passage, I've preached out of it many a times, but I thought it'd be a good reminder to us just for tonight. And it won't be a long sermon. I don't have a lot of cross references. I think it's kind of open ended here in that, other than we'll just pretty much stay in this passage and just make a couple thoughts from each of these verses. But I think it's a really important thought of where we're at right now, right today, as a church. And pray that the Lord can use this in each of our hearts to help us understand what He's doing around us, and how we become part of it. So let's pray here tonight. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've done. As it was said, thank You for Your grace. God, thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for, God, the mercy You just bestow upon our life. Thank You for our church family. Thank You for our school. God, I pray that as we continue to serve You and serve others, that God, You would help us to see things the way You see things, and God, adjust our life to that. And God, use this passage to help us here tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of this message, I don't know, I was just in my Bible over Acts chapter 3, just in between that chapter 3 and verse 1, it says the first apostolic miracle, and I read that, and I titled this message, Miracle of Miracles. If you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, Marianne, have you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? Oh, all right, it seems like you're... But there's a song that the guy sings, Miracle of Miracles, and that's what this is. This is the first miracle after the resurrection of Christ. Christ isn't on earth anymore, and this is a pretty powerful and influential passage, and I'd like to just kind of look at it. And I just want to, as we go through this passage, I want you to be thinking about when your schedule conflicts with God's. Acts chapter number 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Here, two of our key figures in the New Testament. These were two out of the three, Peter, James, and John, that were closest to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has been resurrected. Christ has come back. He's walked the earth for 40 days and has left. He's given some very important instructions to Peter and John. And here they are. It's the hour of prayer. There are two main hours, the third hour or the ninth hour. The ninth hour would be approximately 3 p.m. our time. And they were going to the temple, what I would consider, as I read this passage, the right thing to do. Peter and John, as they are going throughout their day, they're stopping their day, they're going to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. That would be the equivalent of maybe coming on a Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, you're on your way to church, and for what purpose? To pray. Here you are, here we are at we had a service today, 3-ish, and it's almost 4 o'clock now, but same type of thing, on your way into the church house. No one would look at this and go, hey, this is a bad idea. You know, Peter, John, you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. No, that's right where they should have been. They were on their way to do a good thing at the temple to pray. Can we just stop for a moment and think about that? Do you dedicate time to pray? Every day, do you set aside some time? Just you and the Lord? Get alone with God? I like that there's two people there. Hey, on Tuesdays, you want to meet and pray? Or Mondays, do you want to meet and pray? And next week, we're going to have an announcement for our men. I'll give you a little sneak preview here. But Saturday mornings before prayer meeting, I'd like to start meeting with our men, maybe 8:30 or so, just reading the scriptures together and praying. Ages 13 and up, and we'll just open up the Bible to a designated place. We'll read through a couple chapters, two, three chapters, and then pray together as men. I think it's a good thing to pray together. And here we see Peter and John doing that. They're on their way, again, what I would consider going to the right place. As they're on their way to the temple, what do we see in verse 2? And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple. There this man sat, and he would beg for money. He would. That's the only way he'd be fed. He had no way. There was no disability. There was none of that back then. If you were unable to work, you would have to beg. There was no unemployment. There was no social security. The generosity and kindness of others. That's a good deterrent to get lazy people to get a job, but still, that's a whole different political idea. Here we have a lame man sitting outside the temple just begging for food. He was there every single day asking alms. That's what alms are. They're different than tithes and offerings. The tithes and offerings are designated given. Alms are generosity towards others. In verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So there, I like what it says. They were about to go in. You know, it's something how tomorrow you're going to have a plan. Maybe you're going to be heading to Letchworth, Miss Marianne. That's your plan. Peter and John had a plan. I'll pick you up at whatever. We'll meet at this crossroad, and we'll go to the temple and pray together. And when we're about to go in, all of a sudden said, the Lord says, you know what? I got something for you here. I wonder how hard it would be for us to change our schedule. Think about that for a second. Think about that as you go throughout your day. A divine appointment. You know, there's no possible way you could prepare for what you're going to find every day. There's no way. You have no idea what's coming. Thursday, Hudson and I were at a spot, and all of a sudden, I was getting into my car. I was about to get into my car, and all of a sudden, I hear, "Hey, Pastor!" I didn't know I knew anybody here. I turned, and there was a gentleman, and he said, "Can you come here for a minute?" Called me over to his vehicle, recognized him. We talked for, 10 or 15 minutes, prayed together. I wasn't ready for that. I was in sandals and, just run into the store. What's tomorrow? I don't know. What's tonight? I don't know. How could you be prepared for it? You be right with the Lord. You be prepared with God. You be listening to and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. So when God says, when you're about to walk into the temple to pray, scheduled to do a good thing, and all of a sudden the Lord says, stop. Because they were about to go in. See, that was their plan. Tonight, you're like, oh man, we're out of here probably by 5 o'clock or whatever. You got a plan from after this. Say the Lord changes that. Say God changes your schedule. Say this morning you walked into the Sunday school class expecting to see a certain number of kids, and all of a sudden there's new kids. Whoa. These guys hadn't ever been in church before, Brother Seatman. They're not used to sitting still. Hands in their lap, Bible in their lap, attentive to an adult. What are we going to do? Well, God just changed our schedule, didn't he? You're in the line at Wegmans and you look and there's a woman leaning over her cart with tears in her eyes. All of a sudden, God just changed your schedule. You're at work trying to get to the next job and all of a sudden a conversation starts. What is it? Well, you were about to, but then the Lord stepped in. I just want to remind us of how important it is to be in communion with the Lord in the Holy Spirit of God, that when he brings these divine appointments, that we're wise enough and listening intently enough to the Holy Spirit that we can respond in the right way. Because Peter and John could have just walked into the temple and no one would have thought anything different of they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. There was a man. I don't know why this man. We don't have any other info. We don't have a name. We don't have family history. We don't have anything about his deep love for God at all. We just have a beggar sitting outside the temple. Would you be willing to change your plans? I heard a preacher say this. He says he always brings two messages to the pulpit. Man, how would you be prepared for that? One is the message that he felt like the Lord led him, the new one that week. And the second one is a salvation message. That if God changes his mind when he stands and looks out, that he could listen and hear that in his heart and do that. I thought, whoa, do you do that? No, but I feel like I could incorporate the gospel into any message. We could be studying the book of Leviticus, and I think we could get to the cross. This week, as you go throughout your week, maybe God's going to put a lame beggar outside the door that you go in and out of every single day. And for some reason, this day, he tells you to stop. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. There was something about seeing him. We had a bunch of young people in church this morning. Did you introduce yourself? Did you go shake their hand? Did you look them in the eye? Did you tell them that you prayed for them this week? Wednesday night, we were praying for the young people to come from Selden. And here they come walking right through the door. Were you kind? Did you fasten your eyes upon them? It's something when you get past just seeing the peripheral views of things and actually get to see a person. That changes. I don't know how many times Peter and John walked past this man. Maybe every time they would drop a coin in. Clink, clink. But today something was different. The connection to looking face to face. What do you see? Maybe in your classroom, maybe you were a greeter today and coming in off the bus, you saw a slew of people and you just thought, oh, here's a bunch of problems. I hope you saw a bunch of young people that Christ could turn their life upside down for the good. I hope that God would continue to send us new people week after week. It is our obligation and our responsibility to help them, connect with them, help them to grow, whether adult or child. Miss Christie was here again this afternoon, and did she go home? Yeah. And so friendly. Talked to her today, and she told me, she's like, you know what? I said, tell me about when you got saved. She goes, I was like you. I was 10 when I got saved. My parents are saved, and that's great. I pray that the Lord keeps sending us people, but we got to be willing to get past the, no, this is my people group. This is who I'm with. This is who I feel comfortable. Hey, stretch yourself a little bit. Get to know somebody. Shake their hand. Invite them to come over for dinner and you know, without being weird. You know what I'm saying. But where's the human interaction? I'm afraid we could get to the place where, hey, this is going to disrupt my comfort. It's probably because you haven't fastened your eyes on somebody. What does that mean? Get to know them. Look at them no longer as just a thing sitting by the side, but a real person. Not a problem, but a... possibility. A potential. In verse 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. It's funny when expectations aren't met. He looked and he's like, oh, we got a good one here. These guys made eye contact. And his mind, hey, if I can just get him to look at me, get some sort of interaction, then we can go somewhere. I've traveled a little bit throughout the world, and there's been times we've been in markets, and people just come up to you. I think it was in Mexico where they're just selling stuff, and they'll just come up and try and get you to buy stuff. Maybe it was Trinidad. I don't know. It was one of those places. They got stuff. They're, you know, necklaces and things. And they're just trying. And the missionary will tell you, hey, just don't make eye contact. If you don't want to buy anything, just keep walking. And they'll kind of leave you alone. But, hey, if you make eye contact and start asking about it, whoa, I'm telling you, a swarm of people. In Africa, there's this place that we go to get, souvenirs and things. It's like a horseshoe. And man, when our group walks in, we're about as pasty as anything. And all of a sudden, the prices get taken off everything, and everything goes up. And they are bartering, and whoa, come look at mine. Come look at mine. I'm like, yeah, but I don't need an oven mitt, you know. It's like, I'm good. No, you need this. Take this home to your... No, I don't need that. I wonder if that's what this guy thought. Oh, yeah, we got some... I bet they got money. Expectations. See, what people think they want isn't really what they need. This guy thought he needed money. No, he had a much greater need than that. What did he need? He needed Jesus. Never in his wildest dreams did he think of what's about to happen. Verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's all right, Peter. Got something much better than silver and gold. But such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I don't know why Peter did that. It doesn't tell us, it doesn't say, and the Lord said to Peter. This guy's just sitting there with a little metal can with a couple coins in it, shaking it, calling out to Peter and John, not by name, just, hey, money, alms for the poor. And Peter gets down, lame man, so he's got to get down on his level. Looks at him, and he says, sir, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and he lifted him up. And for the first time ever, because he's been lame since birth, this man stands on his own strength. I wonder what would happen if we heeded the Holy Spirit. Say, do you think we could do that? Let me help you. No. But I do think God could do amazing things for us if we would just stop. The most important thing is not your schedule. The most important thing is listening to the Holy Spirit of God lead and guide you. I don't know why Peter stopped that day. I don't know why he even said this. We have no other information. He doesn't retell the story later. Verse 8, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. And he did something that he wished he had been able to do 100 times before. I wonder if he said that day. Ever make a promise to God? Ever be in a tough way, in a predicament, and say, God, if you get me out of this. Ever say that? And then he does. And then instead of going where you should be going, you go the opposite way. I don't know. This man had some character to him. Leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them. Started off at 2, now there's 3. Walking and leaping and praising God. This man, out of control, good. Brother Rice, he's all about it. You would be too. All your life, lame, praising God. I can't offer physical healing, but we certainly can introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ and change the course of their eternity. And again, I wonder how many times we walk by and we say in our mind, I just don't have time for this today. Glad Peter and John didn't say that day. This man is glad that Peter and John did not say it that day. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Here's this man. He won't separate himself. He's like latched onto Peter and John. Sure. All these people come. This man's making a loud noise, a ton of drawing attention to himself. And all the people knew, it says, that it was God that worked amazing. Who's latched onto you? Who's latched onto you that can't stop praising God for what God has done? I don't got anybody. Then maybe it's because we haven't stopped at the temple gate, beautiful. Maybe we have fulfilled our schedule so well that God hasn't worked through us. I'm just saying sometimes God changes your schedule and we got to be okay with that. And the only way we can be prepared for that is to be prepared with God. Hey, this Christianity thing isn't a game. This is real. There's real souls. The prayer really works. The Word of God is really powerful. And it can change people's lives. Are we ready for that? Are you ready for that? Or maybe the reason we don't stop is because we're afraid. Afraid of what God might do in our midst. And that might disrupt my I hope that's not the case. So many people gather together. Peter sees it. We studied Peter, was it last week? Yes, Peter last week. And Peter's great at talking. And he sees all this and he's like, let's go, here we go. And this went from a miracle to the miracle of miracles. Because he preaches. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 and verse 4, following that sermon, 5,000 people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how? Because two guys stopped for a minute. Because they were about to go in, but the Lord changed their direction. Say, could he do that with, if he can use two fishermen, he could use us. Because it's not us, it's God doing that. And I want to remind us of how important this is. Yes, the first miracle, but the second miracle, look at that. 5,000 people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Just because someone got a glimpse of a person. I don't know what next week brings. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be on the other end of your phone. I don't know what's going to be standing at your door. I don't know what's going to happen at work. I don't know what's going to happen at Letchworth. I don't know. But let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, that if he touches our heart, say, well, I'm on my way. Now listen, don't get fired over the thing, but if the Holy Spirit stops you, you better figure out what he's doing and be obedient to that. I don't know what he's doing around us. Megan, I agree. It's wonderful to see people get saved. A number of those young people that were here this morning, Tuesday night, raised their hand and asked Jesus Christ to save them. And then they're in church on Sunday. The big dude, what's his name? Jair. What does he go as? Jai. He's about to leave. He comes over, shakes my hand. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. I said, well, we don't do food every week. And he goes, no, we'll be back. I don't know. I hope he does. I don't know what God's doing around us. I'm just glad God's doing something around us. And let's not get so caught up with, no, this is how I do it. This is what I'm not saying we compromise. Understand. But if the Lord stops us, we better stop. And if the Lord says, fasten your eyes on that one, then we better look. And we better do exactly what the Lord tells us to do. Miracle of miracles. Are you willing to allow God to change your plans? So I don't like when he does. And I pray that he does. I pray that he does. Let's all stand tonight. I don't know how long that was. Joe, how long was that? Half an hour? I thought 15, 20 minutes. I'm glad you're here this afternoon. A reminder. The Lord needed to remind me of that. And if the Lord tarries and allows me to continue to be your pastor, you'll probably hear that message again somewhere in the future. Because I think it's a really important reminder. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I pray that God, I pray that you would change our schedule. God, I pray for those divine appointments. And Lord, forgive me for getting so busy that I fail to see the souls that are around. Lord, right now, as we open up the altars, maybe you would work in someone's heart just enough to yield themselves. Just be willing to change their schedule for you. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. And in Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Why don't you come and pray and ask God? Say, God, would you change my schedule? I got a plan. I know where I'm going. I got my whole week laid out. But would you change my schedule?